All right, we're going live to our news reporter, Scoop Singleton. Scoop, we hear there's a lot of big crowds where you're at. What do you see? Tell us what's going on there, Scoop.
Yeah, I see people following this Jesus guy from all over the place. He's teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the good news, healing every kind of disease. He's casting out demons, healing those with seizures, and even paralytics. This guy can do it all, man. You know, I gotta follow him. I bet he could cure my aunt's bunions, my wife's mad cow, my brother's cheese ball belly, cousin Eddie's... Wait, do you think he can heal ugly? Nah. This is Scoop. There it is.
Well, there you go. Can he heal my cousin's ugly? Well, I don't know if there's anyone ugly to God, but I'm sure glad he heals the ugly that's inside of us sometimes, right? All right. Well, good morning. My name is Gino. I'm a shepherd here and on the preaching team. Good to have you here, family and guests and online. So, have to ask, how did it go with your one this week? How did it go with your one this week? Good. If you weren't here last week, or if, if you weren't here and you're not sure what we're talking about, last week, TW challenged us. He taught about the parable of the lost sheep, and how the shepherds left the 99 and went after the one. And so he asked us to think about our one and to pray for our one and to go after that one or to do whatever God led you to do during the week. So we're going to follow up with that a little bit as we approach our verses. We've been in Matthew for a few weeks now, and we've seen how God has woven a beautiful tapestry with threads found in the Old Testament, and he brings them together in the New Testament as a work of art, right? It's a tapestry. It's a beautiful tapestry that is the gospel of Jesus. And he proves once again that our God is a sovereign God. He sees the big picture, and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. So as an illustration of the one, I want you to think about something. When were you the one? When were you the one? Whose one were you? Who did God use in your life to draw you to himself? To disciple you? To raise you up? To train or mentor you? To send you out into your own ministry? And then what about lately? Who has God used in your life to encourage you or to challenge you? Think of all the ways throughout your story that God has taken unrelated incidents, threads, if you will, and then he's weaving them into a beautiful tapestry that is your life. Then, I don't know how theologically correct this is, but I have the mic. Then he's going to take your tapestry and he's going to put it together with millions and millions of other tapestries. And he's going to make this mosaic. You guys have ever seen those mosaic pictures that when you stand back, it's a picture and you zoom in and it's really thousands and thousands of little pictures? That's what I think it's going to be like. That's what it's going to be like. So you see your tapestry and you step back and you see this huge tapestry. And you know what that tapestry is? It's a shepherd with 100 sheep. And you're one of them. No, you're the one he's holding. Oh, that's beautiful. I should work for Hallmark. There you go, right? Give me a minute. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you know what you're doing. Thank you that you don't see a mess. You see a work of art. You see a work in progress. You are a creator, and we are your creation. It can be hard and painful to be under your chisel, and yet you are a good and loving artist. You are the good shepherd. Help us to stay at your side. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so we're finishing up chapter 4 in our series in Matthew. And just want to kind of go over some of the last couple of sermons that we dealt with. So at the end of chapter 3, we see the Holy Spirit coming down on Jesus as he's baptized, right? Then he spends 40 days in the desert, fasting and praying. Then he fights off the devil's temptations using the word. And if you remember that Sunday, Scoop was very impressed with how Jesus used the word. And if you remember, he kept going, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And yes, that's what we need. We need the word of God to fight off temptation ourselves. In Psalm 119:11, it says, "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." My friends, we need the word of God, but not just here. And not just here once a week. We need it here. We need to hide the word of God in our hearts. Let me ask you a couple of questions about the word of God in your life. Do you have a life verse? Not that that's a requirement for a Christian. I'm just curious. I know a lot of people who do. Do you have a life verse that you can go back to as your foundation when things get crazy and you're losing sight of some of life? Yeah. Do you have verses that you're praying over yourself or praying over other people? Do you have verses to fight off your particular temptations? The Word of God is our spiritual food. And you can't feast on that food if you don't spend some time preparing it. Hallmark. That was a good one. Another thing that comes to my mind as far as the temptation goes, in Mark's version of that story of the temptation of Christ, he adds a detail that I think is really important. He says that after Jesus had fought off the devil left for a more opportune time. There is so much of the life of Christ that isn't recorded in the Bible. So just because that's the only time that's mentioned doesn't mean the devil didn't come back and keep trying. And you know he does that to you. When you think you're good or when your guard is down, he comes back again with the same stuff. You might defeat him and he'll concede the defeat, but in his mind, he's like the Terminator. "I'll be back." And we have to be ready with the word of God. There you go. So after his temptation, Jesus begins his ministry in Capernaum of Galilee. Now, according to one scholar, from the time of the temptation to when he starts his ministry was over a year. I never think about that as I'm reading the events of the life of Christ. Sometimes I think they happen as fast as I read them. He was baptized, he fasted, he started his ministry, he called his disciples, and I think that's how things happen, which is why sometimes maybe, if you're the same way, we get impatient with God and with his timing. And we can even get mad or give up and think it's his fault because he's not there, he's not answering, he's not listening. So I want to give you a challenge. Next time that you're upset with God and his timing, why don't you fast for 40 days till you have the mind of Christ? After 2 days, I'd be, "Oh, sovereign Lord, thine timing is perfect. Taketh thy time. Get me a cheeseburger." It's just a thought, because his timing is perfect. So from that time, after the temptation, a year later, Jesus begins to preach, and his message is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we're going to hang on that for the rest of the morning. Then he calls his disciples, and that brings us to today's verses. If you have a Bible, please open up with your Bible to Matthew 4, 23, 27, or your app. If you need a Bible, we have some in the back. If you don't own a Bible, please take one of these and keep it. It's for you. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures, and the paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Now we have a map up here for you just to give you a point of reference of how much land we were talking about and where all these people were coming from. I know up there it says the birth of Christ, but this is the only slide I could find that was free. Call me cheap, but they love me at Goodwill. So if you see on the map where Galilee is in the middle, and then the Decapolis, which means 10 cities, the Jordan River is kind of small. But what got to me, and I know some of your minds could have done a better job of this. What I thought was like, what map could I put over this that I would know? If Galilee was Cedar Park, how far north are we talking? All these people heard about Jesus. So again, to the idea of it takes some time, all these people heard that Jesus was healing, and they're walking now, and they're bringing sick with them. But in our minds, it's just two or three sentences later, right? It's just something to reflect on there. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then we have him show us what the kingdom of heaven is like. He shows us through his actions. The kingdom of heaven, according to our previous verses and then ending with today's, is preaching, calling, teaching, and healing. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And one commentator said, to be at hand means that it is touchable. It's within your grasp. It's here and now. It is before you, and you only need to reach out to take it. That's preaching, calling, teaching, and healing. The kingdom of heaven is preaching. The definition that I came across that I liked for preaching, it's proclaiming the good news, and it's aimed at bringing about conversion, encouragement, or edification. Think about your one, and I know some of you in your heart, you have several ones. Think about your one for a second. We're going to pray several times this morning for them. Pray with me the word preaching and proclamation over your one. Father God, we lift up these people, our one that you died for, that you love. Lord, would you open their eyes and their ears to preaching? Whether it comes from a sermon, a book they read, your word, a friend over coffee, show us how to proclaim Jesus, the gospel. We put our one into your hands. We ask that you would make their heart fertile ground for your word and your truth. Set them free, Lord God. Save them, we ask. Bring them into your family. Open their eyes to how much you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is preaching and calling. Calling others to follow Christ. Come, follow me. Or as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I can't wait to see Peter, Andrew, John, and James. Because my questions to them, my conversation to them is going to be, what was it like? What was it like when this man walks up to you and says, come, follow me? What was going on in your head? What went on in your heart that you did it? The word says they did it immediately. Peter, you're the breadwinner of the house. You have a wife. There's no double income household. He left his business to follow Jesus. John and James, ever heard of honor your father and mother? You left your father hanging there. You were all three working on the nets for the next day's work. This guy says, come follow me. And you guys are like, daddy, peace. We're going with this guy. How did that happen? But he wasn't just some guy, was he? How did it happen with you? He's not some guy. It's Jesus. It's God, Emmanuel, God with us. And when he calls you, there is power and love and mercy and kindness. There's hope and forgiveness. There's a vision and a promise and a future. And there's salvation behind his call. Because when he calls you, there's power. T.W. said last week that what Jesus did was doing at this time and what the disciples were doing, they did with the power of God. And you have to keep that in mind when you're talking to your one. It's not you. It's not whether the meal you made them burned or not. It's the power of God there in your presence as you just do what he asked you to do for that one. Say the name of your one in your heart right now. And let's pray calling over them. Father God, you know this one. You know what you've called them to do, what you've called them to be. Father, you know the new name you have for this one, the new identity. We know that you call us to go after the ones for you, but we also acknowledge that by your Holy Spirit, you can call them right now, wherever they are, that they would know in their heart, Jesus is calling, come, follow me. In Jesus' name. The kingdom of heaven is preaching, calling, and teaching. So for our purposes this morning, I want you to look at this definition for teaching. Communicating the nature and the purpose of God's kingdom. So when you think about teaching, not just within our faith, but any class you've taken or any time you've been a student or a teacher, teaching usually takes time. It takes modeling. It takes failing. It takes patience and perseverance. And when done right, it develops a relationship. The teacher will have an impact on the student. Because of the teacher, the student will be a different person when the teaching is done. Teaching is discipleship. Jesus said, go, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Let's pray teaching over your one. Father God, you know the hearts of the ones that you have sent us after, that we are praying for this morning. You know the lessons they need to learn. Show us how to get out of your way to be their teacher. Show us, Father God, how to be your assistant teacher and to be used. Show us, Father God, how to share our lessons with them. We pray that they would be your students. Jesus, just like the disciples called you rabbi, let us do the same. Let the one that you've put on our hearts, let him, let her call you rabbi, call you teacher. Let them be so excited about what you're up to that they can't help but share the lessons they're learning with others as well. In Jesus' name. All right, so we get to today. The kingdom of heaven is preaching, calling, teaching, and compassion and mercy. Wait, I thought we'd already established the kingdom of heaven was preaching, calling, teaching, and healing. Where did compassion and mercy come from? From the heart of God. You see, Jesus performed miraculous healings in order to show his compassion and mercy. See, if you're sick today, if there's an ailment, if there's a disease, we have so many resources. We have so many agencies if you're disabled. Modern medicine is a mind-blowing thing, isn't it? I've had two eye surgeries within the last month. Seems I have a canal behind the pupil that's closing up, and if it closes up all the way, and I see double and have an excruciating headache, I should probably get to the hospital. See you in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, thank you. So they took a laser and they put a hole in my pupil just in case. And then they opened up that canal also. But in case it were to still close up, the hole in my pupil will then let some of the moisture behind my eye come out to the front and I'll be okay. And then I drove home. No wonder I didn't get any get well cards from you. Hallmark. That's awesome. Write your own card. All right. I know what that meant. All right, so that's today. But back then, it was almost a death sentence to get a certain diagnosis. A paralytic, if the family kept them, would go put them somewhere in the city, let them beg all day, and then hopefully remember to come bring them back. That was their lot in life. Some diseases meant you were an outcast. You were alone. You were rejected, even by your loved ones. But Jesus showed compassion and mercy. He healed the body because of that compassion and mercy. And he restored dignity, hope, a future, and relationships. Two stories that come to my mind about healing. The blind man who, when he hears, what's going on? What is all this? He yells out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Not Son of David, come heal me. Not Son of David, restore my sight. Have mercy on me. Do you see what my life is? Have mercy on me. And then the story of Jairus, the synagogue leader who asked Jesus to come to his home and heal his daughter who was dying, who in fact died before Jesus got there. But on the way, pressed in by crowds, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. 12 years. All her money spent trying to get doctors to help her. Nothing. Reaches out, touches his garment, and Jesus feels power leaving. And then he stays there, and he calls her daughter, and he blesses her for her faith. The body of a dead girl, unclean, should not have been touched. A woman with an issue of blood, unclean. Jesus touches them because he is compassionate and merciful and he restores their life. My favorite story of healing, though, is the paralytic whose friends drop him through the roof. And Jesus looks up and sees their faith and he forgives his sin first. And then he heals the paralytic. So number one, this paralytic had friends. He was their one. And those friends had faith. And I know this brings up the question of why God does not heal all the time. And I'm not even going to begin to answer that question for you. The only thing I know is that God has been compassionate and merciful to us all. And the best illustration I can give you here is this. I was in a men's Bible study, and one of the guys was sharing about a worship leader that he knows. And the worship leader is confined to a wheelchair. And this young believer was kind of a believer, kind of still having questions like, is God good? And if God is good, then why, right? We've all been there. But he asked the worship leader, why hasn't God healed you then? And the response was, God is more concerned with lost souls than crooked legs. And all I can ask is for that type of faith for me. I don't have that answer for you. If you're a shepherd or a trustee here today and you're at a place where you can pray with others, could you come on up here? And if we need to, in the back. And Justin, if you don't mind coming back up. We're going to close up here in just a little bit. The kingdom of heaven consists of preaching, calling, teaching, and healing, compassion, and mercy. And it's important to keep in mind those things because that's what needs to flow through us as we talk to our one, right? In my story, I was the one of a coworker in college. Not real good friends, just coworker. We passed each other every once in a while. He invited me to church. I went. I left church that Sunday as a follower of Christ. And then I became the one for the worship leader at that church who took me under his wing and discipled me. He'd come pick me up at the dorm, take me out to eat. He was a photographer. We'd go on some of his jobs. A couple of years later, I'm living with him and his wife for my senior year in college. Several years later, he calls me to come work with his church in Austin. A few years later, he's officiating at our wedding. That's discipleship. But with all the attention on our one, I want to just close with a little bit of a change in focus here. Are you the one this morning? Are you the one who is part of the 100, but you've started to stray a little bit? Or are you so far from the flock that you look back and you can't even see the shepherd anymore? Would you let us pray for you, please? Come up and talk to somebody. What do you need today to reach out and touch the kingdom of heaven? Do you need some teaching? Do you have a question? Do you need some preaching? One of these men or women to just proclaim God's word over you and his promises? Maybe you need to answer the call for the very first time. Maybe Jesus is calling you. Come, follow me. Come let one of us know, please. And are you one who needs healing? Or need to pray for someone who needs healing? Let it not be said of us, you have not because you ask not. Or maybe you're just going through a hard time. When I described the tapestry, did you picture Thomas Kincaid painting? Beautiful, lush pasture. Jesus isn't from Ireland. He's from Israel. There's no flowing. A better translation in Psalm 23 of he makes me lie down in green pastures. A better translation, he leads me to a patch of grass. Life's hard, isn't it? But our shepherd takes us and says, right here, here's a patch of grass for now. Stay with me. If you need prayer while Justin's closing us up in song, please come up. And there are some people in the back that you can pray with. Father God, as dumb sheep, all we really know is that it is good to have you as our shepherd. And that's all we want for our one. That's what we want to reestablish today for us. And I just thank you that you are that shepherd who's looking, who's going after, who can't wait to have the 100 back intact. We love you, Lord. And we love that one because you loved us first. Thank you for your word, for your promises. Thank you for teaching, for calling, for preaching, for healing our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.